Thank you. You may be seated. As you know, there is power in words. Words can be very, very powerful. God has certain words in His Word that are so inclusive and exclusive and very fitting and suitable. In every circumstance that these words are used, to every person it will apply to them individually. It can be believed and applied in any and every circumstances, and the results will be astounding. John D. Rockefeller, at one point, was the richest man in the world. His biography tells us that he was dying at the age of 55. He was living on crackers and milk and could scarcely enjoy the fruits and the results of his untold and unmeasured wealth. He spent most of his time in bed, but at his own word, he had not enjoyed one uninterrupted hour of sleep in 5 years. He was hungry, but could not eat. He was weakened by a rare blood disease and racked with pain from an ulcerated stomach. He supposed that since he was going to die soon, he might enjoy doing something that he had not ever done until now. So among the things he did, there was one activity which he credited with much of his miraculous healing. In fact, he lived after he did this thing 35 more years. He died when he was 90. What was that one thing that Rockefeller discovered that gave him such life? Well, he learned to give. He learned to give. Within 12 months after he began the exciting adventure of giving, he was virtually well and spent the rest of his days as a whole man. The word that I'm talking about today that describes God's plan in a word is the word give. Give. The word really requires no definition. We all know what it means. Anybody can understand its meaning, but the word is significant in our text. Give, it says, and it shall be given you. There's three components of our plan this morning. There is a commandment, and that is give. There is a promise, which says, and it shall be given to you. And then there is a principle. The same measure you use in your giving will be used with you. The whole sentence hinges on the very first word, give. Give. The rest is an explanation of that activity and of all of the results. So today, as we think about our church and about our lives, really, what I'm speaking today goes far beyond just the giving to a church and to a ministry. And certainly, this is God's plan to support His church. But I'm talking far beyond that today because I think, according to this scripture, what we read here, that if you find yourself in circumstances, in a situation in which you would rather not be, try this word. If you lack love, give love to someone. If you lack finances, give money somewhere. If you lack relationships or friendships, be a friend to somebody. God says, give. Give that which you are lacking, and God says, I will give it to you. If you're experiencing deficiency in some area or some areas of your life, try this word, give. Let me tell you three or four things about this word. First of all, it's a personal word. It's a personal word. It is personally inclusive. It's for everybody and inclusive of everything. So it's all of us, and it's inclusive of everything we have, everything we own. The absence of a specification demands a general implication. He says give. He doesn't tell us what to give. He just says give. We are to give everything. Everything we have, everything we own, is found in the realm of this word, give. So it's personally inclusive. It is personally imperative. This is in the Greek language, in the what is called the imperative mood, and so it implies that there is no option. There's no other options but to give. It's a clear demand of God that we are to give. He's not suggesting something here. He's not giving us an option or an alternative. His command is to give. So it's personally inclusive, personally imperative. It's also personally continuous. We find also in the original language that it's in the present tense. And in the present tense in Greek, it always implies continuous action. Keep on giving. In other words, Jesus is saying, let giving be your permanent lifestyle. Be a giver. Constantly, continually, always. And it's personally unconditional. There is no if. He doesn't say, if such and such and such and such, then give. It has no conditions. Not before, not after the command. So it's conditioned upon nothing. No contingencies, no loopholes, no excluding clauses. Nobody can reply that they have nothing to give. And you think, well, I don't have much. Doesn't matter. God says, give of that area where you're at. What am I supposed to give? You give what God tells you to give. How he leads, how he guides. So it is a personal word to every one of us. It applies to every one of us. But it's also a practical word. It's practical in nature. You just think about it. In this word is the key, really, to the mysteries of the universe. Adhere to this law, and the riches of the whole system will be released. Disregard or break this law, and the whole system of reality locks up around us. Disregard or break it, and it all locks up around us. But examine nature itself. A tree exists to produce and to give. The earth itself gives life. The sun gives out energy. So God's creation all around us gives and gives and gives and gives. So it's practical in human nature, but it's also practical in human need. The place to start or to begin your giving is in that place where you now are experiencing your greatest present need. Where's your greatest need right now? Where's the thing that, what is the thing you need the most? That's where you start giving. I learned this principle many, many years ago when I was just a young pastor. Started just probably a couple of years before a church in, right outside of Pittsburgh. And we had our first stewardship conference. And back in those days, we had a banquet. And we took commitments at that banquet and for our yearly budget. And I had a speaker come, a longtime pastor by the name of Cecil Hodges. And he came in and he hit right at the very first of his message. He says, you know, I'm here today. I'm too busy. He says, I don't have time for this today. And he's blowing us away. Why are you here? I'm thinking right back in my mind, if you don't have time, why'd you come? And then he said this. The Bible says, give, and it shall be given you. He says, I need time to do all the things that God's called me to do. So I've come here today to give to you my time so that God will give me more time to do what he wants me to do. And he was living out this principle that we're talking about this morning. Taught me a tremendous lesson many, many years ago. You see, God gives a great promise to us as giver. The promise to the giver is that he will receive. God says, give and you'll receive. What does he tell us? You see this in verse 38. He says, first of all, you'll receive good measure. There will be a precious, honorable amount that God will return to you when you give. He also says it'll be pressed down. And you know when you're trying to get something into a container, into a bag or something, you press it down so you can get more in? That's what it's talking about here. It's to be perfectly and permanently satisfied. And then, you know, sometimes you've got to shake things together to kind of fill up all these spaces. He says that, to unsettle, to make more room. It's a permanent, perfect work. And then ultimately God says, you'll be running over. Continuously, God will pour out blessings more than you can even contain or handle. If you today are experiencing an unmet need, maybe you're lonely, maybe you've got a financial need, a relational need, a need in your marriage, maybe you're lacking love, maybe there's an unmet need in your life, a hurt, then either Jesus Christ misrepresented the truth or you have a giving problem. If you don't have time, maybe you need to give time. If you're lacking energy, then give energy to whatever God leads you to do. But whatever you're lacking, that's the area you give. And God says then he will give back to you. Giving is the practical thing to do. Start giving at the point of your greatest need. So it's a personal word. It's a practical word. It is a personally possible word. I think that's neat. Every command of God, you see, is at once a promise. He says, give. This is a command. When God commands something, he's promising something to you. God never gave a command to human nature beyond man's capacity to obey. Never would command us to do something that we cannot do. God tells us, faithful is he who calls us, who also will do it. When he told Lazarus to come forth out of the grave, Lazarus came forth. He'd been dead 4 days. God raised him from the dead and then enabled him to walk out of the tomb. Jesus came to the man with the withered hand. Jesus said, stretch forth your hand. And he did it. When there was the lame man who could not walk, Jesus said, rise, take up your bed and walk. And he did it. What God states as imperative is not impossible. When God commands us to do something, God will enable us. God will provide us. God will do what we think we cannot do if we just obey his word. The word of God is the authority of our lives. The word of God is what we should follow, what we should obey. It's God speaking to us. And what God commands us, he will enable us to fulfill that command. Lastly, it's a personally profitable word. The promise, give, and it shall be given unto you. Jesus always repeated what his father said. He wouldn't have made the promise had he known his father's resources weren't able to fulfill it. He said in John 5:30, by myself I can do nothing. I judge only as I hear, and my judgment is just. For I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me. You see, I need not worry about his end of the bargain, only mine. I don't have to worry about whether or not God's going to keep his word, because that's his nature. God never lies. It's impossible for God to lie. God will always do what he says he will do. God will always keep his promises. I only have to worry about my end of the bargain, and my end of the promise is to give. He says he will give back. It's always profitable. He has an endless supply. There are permanent conditions of plenty. It's a continuous overflow, he says. And its success, it suggests great magnitude. He says, I'll put all of this, pour it into your lap. And that's a phrase that tells us of the old world and people of that age who wore those long flowing robes. And it indicates the filling up of the fold of the robe. And it's to them it was a term of great success, a great amount. That's the promise. Give, and it shall be given to you. Here's the principle. The measure of your getting will be in proportion to your giving. How much should I give? Well, how much do you want to get? God says the measure that you give, I'll use that same measuring stick, that same measuring rod to you. 2 Corinthians 9:6, he says, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. This is a principle, not a suggestion. They will always come to pass. God says, I will bless you based upon the measure of your giving. How you give will be how I will bless. So there's some basic conclusions, at least five things. Let me give these to you very quickly. We can expect from our giving to receive. Give, we'll receive. Secondly, we can expect from our giving to receive more than we give. So you give, whatever you give, you'll get more back. Thirdly, the unqualified limit would lead us to believe that there's absolutely no limit to what God gives, because there's no limit to his riches. Fourthly, we have been given the privilege of giving. Exercising that privilege moves God into the affairs of men. When we give to God, then that moves God into our affairs, into our lives in a very special, unique way where he will then pour blessing upon us. Give of that commodity, five, give of that commodity which you seem to have the least of. Is it time? Is it money? Is it energy? Your talents? Is it friendship? Is it love? Where are you hurting the most? Where is that area of your life that you seem to really be needy right now? God says, you give that. He says, I will bless you in ways you never thought possible. And yet, as I close out this morning, there's a word of warning. Jesus' promise of receiving is never the motive to give. We don't give because he'll give back to us. You see, because if he gives back to us and we hold it ourselves, then we stop up the channel. Jesus gives to us in order that we can give more. So I give to him, he gives back to me. I give, he gives. I give, he gives. It's just a channel. Just keep on going, keep on going. And you just keep going higher and higher and higher and higher as we learn this wonderful principle of giving. God blesses the giver. And that's really, when we come to communion, that's really what it's all about too, isn't it? He gave his son for us. Son gave his life for us. We give our lives to him. And we come today to remember the great price, the great sacrifice that Jesus made. And our response really should be to give ourselves to him. Father, we thank you for your word today. Help us be givers to you that you might get all the glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen.